Good afternoon. My name is Ron Miller. I'm a product manager at Freedom Scientific. I want to open up by talking about a product that everybody's got a lot of curiosity about, and we've really hit the ground running with, of course, is the PacMate. And the first off, which sort of goes without saying, is if you want to come and lay your digits on one and play with them, we do have them down in the exhibit hall, and come early and come often and get a real feel for the device and what it does and how it works. We'll be glad to show you. If I'm there, you can grab me or you can grab anybody else, and we'll spend time and answer questions and do all kinds of stuff. It's a good opportunity to not just read about it or hear about it, but actually see it in action. So, most of you all know some of the basics. I'm not going to get real long about it. The PacMate is, of course, our first, the first PDA that actually uses Microsoft's Pocket PC, which is the same platform you find on mainstream iPacs, and has a number of strengths. And one of the ones I really want to focus on here is connectivity. If any of you have seen it, you realize there's a compact flash slot on one side, a PCM CIA slot on the other, and that sort of is minimalist in description. What it does is it opens up a whole plethora of connectivity options, because since it's working with Pocket PC and the inbuilt drivers and availability to add other drivers, you find that you can use everything from phone modems to Ethernet cards and wireless 802.11b cards. We've used it with Bluetooth. And, of course, it's got a built-in infrared port, which it'll actually support both transmit and receive for beaming stuff back and forth. We've beamed to all kinds of devices, of course, back and forth to PacMates. We've played with them with Palm Pilots and, of course, the iPacs. And file size is very, very flexible. I was at a convention earlier this year and had a fellow who really wanted to try this out. He really did. He didn't want to just send some little file, hi, I'm at the convention. And he said, what's the biggest thing you've got? And I had a half-hour MP3 episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yeah, you see where we're going with this, right? And he said, let's do that. And I said, well, it might take a long time. He said, I'm not going anywhere. So we started. It took about 10 minutes, but he got the entire episode on his iPad, and I hope he enjoyed listening to it. It transferred it without any problem. The unit also has a serial port, so it does using our FSEdit software, which is the editor that we put in, which is, of course, an adjunct. You also have Pocket Word and Pocket Excel. But the FS editor lets you support Braille embossers directly from the serial port. There's a lot of neat things happening with regard to the PacMate, and especially in the area of just the programs you can run off the shelf. We've got people trying out stuff, doing stuff all the time. There's a website, which it's not our website, but it's a good website. It's PacMateGear.com. And there's a number of reviews of things that people have tried using. Various and sundry utilities. There's one for an unzip utility, so you can use zip files or unzip zip files. And there's a great backup utility that's reviewed on there. A whole bunch of this stuff, if you got a minute, check it out. It gives you an idea of what kind of things people are finding that are just, these are the Pocket PC apps that are out there, and they're trying them on their PacMates and making them work. Of course, we're playing with Windows Media Player. It's bundled with the Pocket PC suite. And we'll currently, Windows Media Player 8 will support WMA, MP3, WAV files, and before anybody asks, it will work along with speech, so it's just like using your PC on the desktop with multiple channels, so you can be listening to music and working industriously at the same time. Or if you're a student, one of the strengths I really see is if you're a student and you've recorded a lecture using the built-in microphone, you could then go back later and take notes off the lecture that you've recorded using the same device, so you can be in the editor and have the actual speech running as well using Media Player to play the file out of your notes section. One of the other things that we've really glommed onto, can I use that term here? It's a scientific term, isn't it, to glom? It's probably from the Latin to grab with both hands and discover the thing is squishy. Okay. One of the other things we've really glommed onto is just playing with the Internet. And we've discovered audible.com in a big way. Have you guys messed with that at all? Okay. Audible is a company that is providing, as it says or as it sounds, Audible books. And they actually do a little bit of a different business. They don't just sell you books on CD, but they actually will sell you the electronic property of the book. And in the past, you could listen to that on your desktop, or you could burn it to CD. And sighted people can load them to their iPacks. What we've allowed you to do is to load it to your PacMate and carry it away with you. Now, that's neat with books, but they also have a subscription service. So in the morning, when the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and several other papers come to press, Audible gets the first copies off the press, and they start recording them. And you can actually have them on your desktop by 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, so you can download it and carry it off on your commute and listen to the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. And there's some others. I don't have them all memorized. I've got the New York Times on mine. And tomorrow morning there'll be one fresh and ready to go. And that's pretty neat. So you can do those. You can do the books. I'm reading Dave Barry in Cyberspace because I need that kind of wisdom. Okay. Another great internet thing that we're looking at and messing with a lot of is Avant Go. Has anybody here used Avant Go? Okay, great. Who is that back there? Hey, Mick, I was going to talk about you behind your back, but you're here, so this is good. He's done some great stuff. Avant Go is a service that's available, again, originally to iPac users, and now if you've got a PacMate, you can grab onto it too. It will allow you to find sites that you like. They call them channels. And you pick the channels. I've got everything from space.com, which is NASA, to USA Today, to the Wall Street Journal. I had catchow.com for a while on there because I own six cats, or they own me, whichever the actual truth is. Okay, and there's Fast Company. There's stuff on beauty and leisure that I'm not beautiful enough or leisure enough to get into, and just all kinds of topics. And every time you connect your PacMate to your computer and do an active sync, your PC goes out really quickly to the Avant Go site, and it updates those sites. So, for example, if you've got CNN News on there, or Reuters News Service, I don't think they have the other kind, it will go out and grab the latest headlines from CNN or Reuters, or it'll go out and grab the latest Wall Street Journal or USA Today or Purina Cat Chow stuff, and load it to your PacMate so that when you are on the train or plane or bus, you're rolling along, and you need to do some surfing, you can look at those topics, and you've got the web at your fingertips whether you're connected or not. Mika, I was going to mention, because one of the things you can do with Avant Go is customize to your local area. You can actually find stuff related to what you do. And I thought I was pretty slick finding the Tampa Bay newspaper there. But Mika, could you tell us really quickly what you did? Because you did me one better anyway.
Yes. Basically, with the Avant Go service, there are several, I don't know if it's close to 100 or perhaps more, built-in channels that are there that are things like CNN and a number of local newspapers. But in addition to that, you can create what they call a custom channel. And essentially, you go and you enter a URL of any web page and put in the size limit of what you want to store in this custom channel. For example, what I did was in Boston, they have a site on the local transit system that kind of gives transportation updates sort of real time, kind of the equivalent of a traffic report for a mass transit system. So I created an Avant Go custom channel with that data. So therefore, each time I sync, whether it be from my home desktop computer or my work laptop computer, it'll update all the pre-existing content as well as the custom channels that I've created, including this one. So basically, if I sync at 5 p.m. and walk out of the office, and at 5:30, I'm looking at the PacMate and the transit updates, I would have the updates, you know, that were synchronized at 5 p.m. So it kind of gives you an idea of, you know, what you can do with it out of the box, but especially also how you can customize it to do some things to meet your individual needs. And I want to mention very quickly also that I have done active sync with Lotus Notes with it within a week of getting it, which was good for me also because our company uses Notes as an email platform.
Awesome. Okay, so you upstaged me twice because I haven't played with Lotus Notes and I don't get my bus schedule delivered like that. But you get the idea. A PacMate in capable hands can be almost a dangerous thing. I've about probably eaten up a good good part of my time, but I hope you've got an idea of what's available. And as I said, the real strength, the real flexibility of the unit is the ability to take off-the-shelf Pocket PC and bend it to your will. Okay, if there's something that you want done with a PacMate, you're not going to have to wait for Freedom Scientific to build the application. You can get out onto the Internet to the different mobile.com sites and find them and use them. One last quick thing, and I'm out of here. One of the final things we did, which sort of melded off the shelf and a little custom thing we did, and you'll need to come look, it is our bar scanner, our barcode scanning utility, which allows you to scan barcodes on products that you purchase. They cover everything from grocery items to CDs and DVDs to health and beauty, and you'll find that it'll give you the identity of the item and in a lot of instances, a lot of auxiliary information, nutrition, preparation, if it's a shirt, how to clean it, those kind of things. Plus, if there's something it doesn't know, you can add it to the database. So come see us on the exhibit floor. I'll be there to answer questions and the other cast of thousands that we brought with us. Thank you.
All righty. We'll leave a couple minutes for questions, and I'm going to talk really fast because Eric is after me, and that's who you really want to hear from anyway. I'm Dave Wilkinson. I'm a regional sales manager for Freedom Scientific, and I just want to mention briefly that one of the big questions we've gotten about PacMate is, when is Braille coming? When is Braille coming? Braille is here for PacMate. We have portable Braille displays that can be plugged into PacMate through the USB port or plugged into your computer. What's nice about these portable Braille displays, they're 20 and 40 cell portable Braille displays, is they are significantly less than comparable Braille displays on the market. The 40 cell Braille display sells for $39.95, the 20 cell Braille display for $19.95. We do have the 40 cell Braille display on the convention floor with us, so we have significantly lowered brought the pricing for refreshable Braille down, and the convenience of using small Braille displays goes without saying. You can just take them anywhere you want to go and plug them into your computer, plug them into PacMate, wherever you need them. The other thing that I want to mention really quickly is that we have a phenomenal promotion going on with Magic. We have a brand new version of Magic, 8.02. I don't think you'll ever find a smoother screen reader on the screen magnification program on the market. It's extremely smooth. The colors look wonderful. We've also got full translation built in so that you've got English and Spanish. Magic has become a phenomenal product over the last couple of years, and we're really interested in people using it. And as a result of that, we have a special going on where we have dropped the price of Magic by 50% through the end of October so that you can get a screen magnification program for, $150, which is not a bad deal whatsoever. So come by and check out Magic. Works extremely well with JAWS, very smooth, full translation between English and Spanish, and lots of other goodies that we'd like to show you on the exhibit floor. Before our time goes completely, I'm going to turn this over to Eric Damery and have him talk about JAWS 5.0, which is also coming up soon. Freedom Scientific booth 3-7, come and see us. There's a lot of stuff to see. We've never fit it all into 20 minutes, but we're going to give it a really good try.
Hey, hi, everyone. Just a couple of things I wanted to make sure I got in as I was thinking about it as these guys were talking. One is, on our documentation page and our support page on the Freedom Scientific site, you'll find a new document that we've now posted which has all the script functions and an explanation of all those functions. So if you know anyone who writes scripts or if you're interested in learning more about scripts, please go and read that. You'll find it very valuable. Also on the Magic, we have a demo that's in our booth that you can pick up, and it's 120 hours of use, so it's not concurrent use. So if you know someone who wants to try out a magnification product, this could give you something to use for a month or two without purchasing, and it's a fully functional demo, so please be sure to grab that. JAWS 5.0, we are in private beta with it now. I have about 120 private beta testers around the world working on it. This is a very exciting release. We're introducing some new breakthroughs in screen reading. I think that you'll all have an opportunity to get your hands on it right around August 1st. That's when it'll get posted as a public beta. I intend on having it shipped in September, and everything is a go so far. A couple of the key points I'll mention. One is, this version will not require an authorization diskette. There is a solution that's internet-based, and I think you'll all find it very easy to work with, and I think it'll be a very good solution for the future. We've also modified how we communicate with synthesizers, and sounds. And we have a new feature called the Speech and Sounds Manager that you'll find very interesting and give you the ability to modify output from the computer so that you don't just have to hear about combo boxes or edit fields or headings or lists, but you can have sounds or different modifications that will give you these kind of indications. It's going to be very interesting, and there'll be a lot to hear and read about. And we have created the schemes. We've also going to be introducing in 5.0 a feature I'll describe briefly called place markers. And these will be for you to use on the web. If you go to a location and you're just going through a web page and you say, you know, this is a spot I probably want to be, but I want to look further down the web page and see if there's something else I'm trying to find, but I'd like to be able to get back to this spot. You'll be able to just quickly drop a place marker right there, keep reading through the page, and then at some point hit a keystroke and you'll be right back where you had dropped that place marker. Now, if this is a web page that you use all the time and you'll always want to come to this location and it's not a link or a heading or there's no other easy way to get right to that spot, you can set up permanent place markers that will be URL-based that you can then go back and access any other time you turn on the computer and go to that particular website. I do have 5.0 installed on a couple of machines in the booth. I've got a write-up that I produced and put out to our private beta testers. It's about a 30-minute read if you're really interested and technically understand what you're doing with JAWS right now. You're welcome to come by. I'll set you up on the computer, and you can just peruse through and see all of the features and functions that we've put in for this release. I've got about maybe 2 minutes here, and we open it up for questions.
Question was additional applications that you'll be supporting in the new
AIM 5.2 is in there. We've updated the Access, Microsoft Access, so it's been rewritten. There probably are others, and I can't think of them off the top of my head. Again, come by and read the write-up. Any particular one that you're interested in? We are working on Netscape, but that should not be in the initial 5.0 release. I would expect that to be part of the 5.1 free update.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yes, Michael.
What
about Citrix? We're working on Citrix, terminal server, remote desktop applications, and we expect that you'll see a press release as of Friday this week to get the announcement. I'm anticipating first quarter ship, 2004.
We have time for one
Jamal
more question.
Masterui?
Yes, considering the PacMate, it seems a little inconsistent to say that it can be used with various commercials, off-the-shelf products, but then, as I understand it, the version of JAWS on there does not support scripting of other applications.
So yes, it does support scripting, and the document that's on our documentation page on the website explains all how you can do that and port the scripts in. So absolutely, the version of JAWS that ships on PacMate is scriptable.
Okay, just FYI, at your booth yesterday, I was told that the current version does not support scripting, and that's something you're working on. So that's what I.
Yeah, that's how we're getting it to do all of this stuff. We're scripting it right now. So we had to put out the information on how you can put that in. So we're putting out this SDK in order for people to be able to do that. So absolutely, there's a 1.1 version of PacMate that supports scripting. And I'm not sure if it's shipping on the unit today, but it's available.
Technically, the version that's shipping on PacMate today is not scriptable. There is a version of a firmware upgrade that's coming out over the next couple of weeks.
That will be free for all of them. So, okay? And I'm getting the big hook. So come by the booth, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and check out everything we've got, okay? Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'd like to first of all thank Frank and Rob and VidPi for hosting this seminar. I think this is a really good chance to learn what's new in the technology industry and for all of us to learn about things without having to trade through the exhibit hall all the time. I want to talk about a couple of technology. First of all, I'm Jim Denham with the American Foundation for the Blind, and I'm with the National Technology Program. It's currently based in Chicago. We're actually consolidating our programs in the next several months, and our technology program will be based in Huntington, West Virginia. We currently have an office in Huntington that does our technology and employment. You know, we're moving our Chicago office to West Virginia, so we're going to be based out of West Virginia. I'd like to talk to you about a couple different technology things that we're doing. First of all, is Access World. I've spoken in the past here about Access World. Access World is our technology for technology for people who are blind or visually impaired. We've been in its fourth year. Access World does product reviews, product evaluations, new product announcements, interviews with major players in the field. A lot of anything that's new and happening in the technology industry for people who are blind, it's in Access World. We've done mainstream product reviews. We've looked at cell phones and blood glucose meters and things of that nature. We've also looked at adaptive products. We just did a comparison in our May issue of the PacMate versus the VoiceNote from PDI. And we're doing some stuff with screen magnification, looking at Magic, looking at Lunar, looking at Zoom Text, and do they really do what the manufacturer says they do? How well are they working in different environments? So we put them through their paces, and we try them out, and we write them up so that you all can get that information. So it's just one central source for getting the information. So in the past, Access World has been a subscription-based magazine available in a wide variety of different formats. It's been available in Braille, large print, audio cassette. And that's worked well for us for the first 4 years. But we've been looking over the last couple months, what can we do to make Access World more readable, more available to anybody who wants it? And the first thing we said, well, let's drop the subscription. Let's make it free. So as of January 1st, thank you. As of January 1st, Access World will be totally free to anybody who wants it. But with that, we have to make some small changes. Of course, it costs us money to do things like send out mailings and things like that. So we kind of figured, you know, the readers of Access World, they're all, you know, technically savvy individuals. So let's just make it available online. So as of January 1st, it's going to be totally free, but it's just going to be available online. But now, the traditional online right now, you can get online, you can read the articles, you can browse through. We're going to be adding some features to that. We're going to be adding a BRF version so you can download Access World. A Braille-ready file, so just download it and send it to your embosser, and you've got a Braille version of Access World. We're also setting up a feature so you can email an article to your friends. If you read an article and say, hey, I really want so-and-so to read about this, you can just put in their email address, and no, we won't store that email address and use it later. And we put in the email address and email that article to that individual. So it's a lot of exciting things that are happening, a lot of exciting things that are changes. One thing that I'm really happy about as a contributor to Access World is the fact that we're no longer going to have article limits. In the past, the articles, the product evaluations that we did, we were limited by size. Our editor-in-chief, Jay Leventhal, would say, you know, you can only have this article be so many thousands of words. And I'd be like, well, you know, there's just so much to say about this. There's so many new and exciting things happening here. I would just want to say so much. And he's, no, keep it at 2,000 words, you know. So when the online version, that's not going to be an issue. Because obviously online, our web pages can be as large as we want them to be. So you're going to have more information about each product, and the product reviews are going to be more lengthy and more detailed information about each product. So it will still be a bi-monthly magazine. It will come out January, March, May, July, September, and December. You don't have to register. You can go to the online and read it anytime you want, but if you do register, what that will do is when a new version comes out or a new edition comes out, we will email you and let you know, hey, it's now out there. So it's just an advantage to you to register so we can email to you and let you know what's up and what kind of stuff is going to be in each article and things like that. So the other thing I want to talk briefly about is Career Connect. Career Connect is an employment planning resource for persons who are blind or visually impaired. Career Connect is a portion of our website, afb.org/careerconnect. And Career Connect has really gone through a lot of changes in the last year. We were just kind of launching the website a year or so ago, and we really have a lot of new stuff up there right now. We have you can read about pretty much any job you can think about, anything from supermarket cashier to rocket scientist. You can read about what the job response. I don't know if rocket scientist is up there or not, so don't quote me on that. But you can read about these different jobs and see what's involved in those jobs and maybe what some of the minimum qualifications are for those jobs. And then if we have mentors that are currently working on one of those jobs. If you look under psychology, you'll see we have several people in the database that are psychologists that are in the database. And so you can say, well, you want to learn more about the job? Here's an individual you can contact, and you can email that individual. And you just fill out a simple form and type in your message, and that individual will contact you. And we're always looking for new mentors. So any of you who are interested in being mentors and talking to people about the work that you do and sharing information about the jobs that you do. We're always looking for mentors. Come see us in our booth, booth 43. Our Career Connect guru, Deetra Bannister, is in our booth, and she's here with us this week, and she can get you all signed up to be a mentor. So, real quickly, any questions?
Yes, right here.
Sure. Need a microphone? Or?
Yeah, it's okay. The newsletter editor doesn't have a mic. In your articles, Jim, I noticed that in some magazines they will put links to the actual product within the article, not just after it. Do you plan to do that online?
We're looking at that. Yes, we're looking at the
Because if you read PC World or anything like that, if you read their articles, they have embedded links in the articles, and it's a lot of trouble, but it would just be kind of neat to do.
We haven't done that thus far because we've been coming out with the hard copy formats, and of course you can't have a link in a print.
Right, exactly.
But the online version, yes, if we're reviewing a Freedom Scientific product or a GW Micro product or something of that nature, yes, we probably have links to their websites if the vendor so chooses to let us do that.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if CareerLink is the same as that Career Technology Information Bank?
Yes. Career Connect is the new stylish name for what used to be CTIB.
Oh.
Yes.
So if you're already on that, then you're already registered.
If you're already a mentor for CTIB, you are still a mentor for Career Connect, yes. And we're also thinking we're doing is for people who are mentors, we're opening up a mentor area of the site so you can get on and exchange messages with other mentors and get tips and tricks for talking to mentees. And so information out there our mentors have been asking us for a while for a way to communicate with each other and for a section of the website that's just for them. And so now we're just getting into some of that, and we're launching some areas out there for that.
Okay, should I?
Okay, I got the mic back.
Thank you all very much.
Okay, my name is Doug Joffrey with GW Micro. I oversee all the development of WindowEyes. And it's kind of exciting to finally be able to talk about something that's actually shipping, not this futuristic thing or something that's been out there for a while. Our new 4.5 version has some pretty exciting things, and it's been out in public beta now for 2.5 weeks or so. We're passing out demos of it at the booth. You can download it off our webpage. You can download the beta upgrades. If you're an existing WindowEyes user now, you can install it. So everything that I'm talking about, everything that we're showing down in the booth, is something you can get your hands on today. It's not something futuristic. Booth 27. And again, you can get this off the web, and I'll go through all of that. So I'm going to specifically talk about the new features in 4.5. We're probably going to have one more public beta of it, probably Wednesday. That's when I get back to the office. We'll probably put out another one. That'll be the third one. And then we'll let it ride for about 2 or 3 weeks to get some good feedback, make sure it's stable, make sure it's ready to go, and then we'll put it out as a final 4.5 at that point. But the differences or some of the features between our 4.211 version, which is our current shipping version, and 4.5, there's several of them out there, and you can certainly come to our booth and we'll go in agonizing detail over all of them. But some of the big things that I think stick out is the first one is stability. We feel no matter how many whistles and bells the screen reader has in it, if it's not stable, it doesn't do anybody any good. And especially some of the new features that we've added to it, stability becomes even more important. And so one of the things that we added in is an error reporting feature. Similar to Windows, and I'm sure everyone here has hit this at some point in their computer usage, you'll get a GPF of some sort, and you may have to reboot the system or whatever, and it'll come up and say, do you want to report this to Microsoft? Well, you'll get a similar thing if WindowEyes is involved in any way within this problem. It'll automatically give you the option of sending us this error report, which then allows our development team to get in and find what problem it is and resolve it. This helped tremendously in our private beta phase, and even in our first public beta when we put it out, we were getting some feedback back. We immediately fixed those problems based on the error reports that were coming back and put out a beta 2 very quickly after that. So it helps us keep the product stable because we feel that's the number one priority. So anytime we get any stability reports, that goes top of the priority list, not the fancy whistles and bells and features and such. So I think that's going to pay off for us in the long run. Of course, WindowEyes still is not copy protected in any way, so 4.5 is still the same in that respect. We work with a lot of partners out there, specifically PeopleSoft now use WindowEyes for all of their testing of their case management software. It's a very popular software out there. A lot of state agencies use all of this. WindowEyes is their de facto standard. We're not doing anything that only works with WindowEyes. We don't do that, but we make sure that it does work with WindowEyes when it goes out. We've also worked with Adobe on their new 6.0, so we now support secure documents, we support the bookmarks, all of this business that the new 6.0 has. Citrix we've worked with, but I'm going to save that one for a little bit. And Microsoft, we've done a lot of work with them in their Office, their new Office version that's coming out, their 2003 one of our machines down there in order to demonstrate the remote service or remote desktop solutions. We have a system server set up down there. We've worked with the VisualStudio.net team. In fact, at CSUN, they had Jonathan, I'm drawing a blank on his name now. It wasn't Jonathan Mosen. That's the wrong Jonathan. This is a Microsoft Jonathan. Jonathan Gordon, there you go, thank you. At CSUN, who is a cited program manager on VisualStudio.net, actually gave a presentation with Window Eyes using VisualStudio.net, and he did it without using the monitor. So I thought that was an excellent demonstration of him being able to use. He created a project that he had. He put in some controls so the toolbox was all accessible, the properties dialog, all that in the past that people have had problems with is now fully accessible, and he demonstrated that by putting in some controls, compiling the application and running it in front of everybody, again, without using Site. And this is a Microsoft employee, so I think they're finally starting to get the picture. And, of course, we're always working with the IE team, and we're also working with Microsoft on this new DCM technology that allows other applications to coexist with us and do some other things. So we're still working on all of that. Microsoft has contracted us to keep that product going, evangelize it off to the not only to our community but also to the general public, like remote access applications, PC Anywhere, things like that. So we're constantly working with those individuals and trying to get that to become even more of a standard. The 4.5 also includes DeckTalk Access 32, so that automatically comes for free with that version. It comes with all the voices of RealSpeak in a SAPI 5 version. It's kind of a high-end synthesizer. It can be somewhat sluggish on slower machines, but on today's machines that are coming out as new systems, it's actually pretty responsive and pretty impressive. So we've kind of held off until we got to this state, and their SAPI 5 version seems to tag along pretty good. So we're happy to offer that as an option. So actually we have all, of course, the Eloquent speech. We offer the Microsoft, DeckTalk Access 32, and RealSpeak. So we give you lots of options within your software speech. One of the biggest things that 4.5 has is the Internet support itself. We kind of looked at what was out there. We took a look at all the top guns that are out there supporting Internet. Thank you. And we kind of decided, how can we raise the bar? How can we do better than that? And I think we've achieved that with our 4.5. I can go into agonizing detail of all of those types of things that we've done in that, but you can come down. We have live Internet access at our booth. And we also have a document that you can get off the webpage, which I'll talk about, that will describe all of the new functionality that our new IE support now offers. So whether you're using IE or any application that uses IE as the base to expose its information, whether it be your door or whatever, you now have all of this access that you previously didn't have in the past. And again, we think it kind of raised the bar on that IE support. Of course, the biggest thing and the biggest talk right now is that we now support remote computing. So if you have Windows XP Professional and you want to do remote desktop off to your mom's computer or whatever, she's having problems, you can log into that system as if you were there, even though she may be thousands of miles away, and be able to diagnose her system or whatever you want to do. Whether you're using terminal services, which is kind of the next step up from that. Yes, was there a question? Oh, I saw a hand flying in the air. Terminal services is kind of the next step up of that. Remote desktop is kind of a user version of that where it just comes for free with Windows XP Professional. If you've got Windows 2000 Server or 2003 Server, you can also connect to that using remote computing. And, again, it's just as if you're sitting in front of that machine. And then we also worked with Citrix in their MetaFrame environment so that you can also use a Citrix environment, which is kind of the Cadillac of remote computing. If you get into corporate world, that's extremely popular, and for good reasons, because you can have a server sitting out there with all these applications installed on it. You don't have to go to your 50,000 employees, go to all their client systems and install and upgrade and all of this business. It's all done on a server side. You can then just log into that system just as you were sitting there and have full access to that computer system. And it's, again, as responsive as if you're sitting at that system. I work out of California. Our office is in Indiana. I've got 3 minutes. And I run the system, and it's very, very responsive over that. So it has very little impact on the overall throughput that you're doing, even through the web on that environment. I'm just going to give a couple little things, and then I'll open it up for questions. Windows Standard, which works with Windows 9X and Millennium, sells for $595. The Professional is $795. If you're an existing Windows user and you're current, meaning you're 4.211, the upgrade is $100. The last three upgrades prior to this have been free, by the way, so we're very reasonable on our upgrade prices. We do have SMAs available as well. But all of this information, if you're interested in looking at the documentation that I've talked about, or if you actually want to install the beta, you can go to gwmicro.com/beta, and that will give you a document that talks about all the IE changes, a README that talks about all the changes, a document that talks about how to use Microsoft Terminal Services, and a document that talks about how to use Citrix MetaFrame, and, of course, the beta itself that you can download. So, again, we're at booth 27. We have all the connections and everything that we can show, both remote computing. We have Citrix set up. We have Terminal Services set up. If you want to see remote desktop, that's set up, or if you just want to go out on the web and look at some pages. So I'll open it up to questions, and I see a hand out there.
Yes, as far as the remote computing, if you have a user that has a client Windowized desktop machine, either using remote desktop Terminal Services or Citrix, would Windowize need to also be installed on the machine that you're controlling or just on the client?
Windowize needs to be on the server end, the remote end, whether it be remote desktop, Terminal Services, Citrix. It needs to be on that remote end. If you also have it on the client end, then you can use the client version basically as the synthesizer. So Windowize on the server end can talk to the client end and send its information and let it speak whatever synthesizer you're using. So you don't have to port over the sound card. You don't have to port over a COM port, you know, to a synthesizer or whatever, and that's what makes it very, very responsive. I have 1 minute. Any more questions?
Training tapes available for new users? Training tapes.
We have some tutorials that are available. We have the tutorial that comes with Windowize, and then we also have some third-party tutorials that people have created for us. So if you want to contact us, I can certainly get you in touch with those types of tutorials.
We'll take one more question.
I see a hand in the back. Yes.
Yep. A voice recognition user as well as a voice response user, and using. I wonder how well it works with naturally speaking or some other voice recognition system.
Mm-hmm. We've done some testing with Dragon Naturally Speaking, and they certainly coexist, and you can certainly use those together. We have on our list to maybe make a tighter integration to get some tutorials set up that you can actually. You know, that might help you learn how to coordinate those two applications together. But we do have users that are using that. I'm not the expert. I can get you in touch with someone at our office who actually uses that environment and has shown that environment in the public as well. Yes, thank you very much.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Gustavo Galindo, and I am with Benetech, and I'm representing Bookshare. We're down on aisle A, booth 19. And could I have a shout-out from everybody who knows already what Bookshare.org is?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so let's keep this a little bit more of a revival meeting. Who among you is already a member?
Hey.
Hey, okay. So Bookshare.org is an online digital library where you can come onto our site, find books that you like, download them to your local computer, and then access them with whatever format you need, be it embossed braille printing, be it text-to-speech software, be it a portable refreshable braille device. This is a bit of a departure for Bookshare in that at present only people who actually reside in the U.S. may access our collection. But with this deal with O'Reilly & Associates, we can make O'Reilly & Associates technical manuals available to anybody in the world who provides us with proof of a qualifying disability. So if you're a blind programmer in the UK, if you're a blind programmer in Canada, if you're a low vision user in India, you can have access to those books. So that's something that we're pretty excited about. O'Reilly's collection presently numbers about 330 or so really specific high-tech manuals, training guides, reference materials for all sorts of things from programming your PC to dealing with Microsoft Access to developing PHP code for your web application. So about half of those books are already available and immediately downloadable on Bookshare.org's site. So it's been we've had a couple of kinks along the road, but we are slowly integrating their entire collection. And the response has been overwhelming so far, pretty positive in the amount of service that we're able to give and the turnaround time that we're able to provide these books to people both in the U.S. and in other countries. So we expect to be able to incorporate all of O'Reilly's titles onto our site within the next couple of months, and then we'll just be in maintenance mode after that point so that whenever they have new releases, we'll just put them on the site, make them available to everybody. So not to just focus on O'Reilly, but also in terms of other venues, we've had a recent upsurge in children's titles. So a lot of stuff that's suitable for people who are just learning how to read or people who like bedtime stories. We've got material on the site that's really enjoyable for them. And we've also had some developments in terms of foreign language acquisitions. We'll be bulking up our collection in Spanish, and we hope to also be doing some of that in French. So as long as it's a published book, hopefully sooner than later it will make its way onto Bookshare.org. So that's the end of my canned part. If there are any questions anybody might have.
What is the target audience?
The target audience is people who like to read and who are not able to access a traditional printed bound book. So anybody with blindness, low vision, dyslexia, or physical or mobility issues, somebody who can't open up a book and take the content in that manner.
Well, like the kind of subjects that are covered in that.
Okay, we have a limited amount of textbooks at this point just because the whole textbook genre is a very convoluted mess. We have some textbooks. We're always striving to acquire more. And if your DRC is interested in talking with us, in providing us the specific textbooks that you need for your classes, I encourage you to come by our booth, pick up my business card, and go hound your DRC to say, these people can make the textbooks I need available to me in a digital format. Talk with them. Because not only is it difficult to convince the publishers of the merits of what it is we're doing, but also getting the DRCs there to figure out what it is we can do and what kind of resources we can provide to them and the students who they serve.
Do they have the Left Behind series?
I believe we're up to like number 6 in that series. But I'm not too familiar with the specific titles in that, but I know that one of our volunteers recently submitted a couple of them and was very enthusiastic about it. So we've got books in that series. Yes, sir. You, sir, third row.
It seems like the focus of Bookshare.org up until this point has been, I mean, you guys have a great collection. I mean, 13,500 is a great number, and that continues to increase, and that's wonderful. Has there been much thought, though, on going back and some of the books that are in the collection that aren't maybe the best quality of going back and somehow finding rescanned copies of those or better quality copies of those?
If you're familiar with the model of Bookshare, we encourage iterative improvement of the collection. So as a member, as a subscriber, if you're reading a book and it bugs you to find a scanning error, and if you fix it, we encourage you and incentivize you to turn around after you finish the book and resubmit it and say, here, I improved this, and for your efforts, we give you credit that helps you defray your subscription costs. So we know that it is that scanning quality does vary from book to book, and as you read through the collection, if you're so inclined to improve it, you help us improve specific titles and you help us improve the collection overall. But at this point, we don't have specific dedicated resources to go through all of the books already on the site and do a manual sweep of them all. It's an iterative process, and as more people read and contribute and help us improve it, hopefully all of the books will be better improved because of that. Okay. The young lady who's Australian. Okay.
How does an international person sign up for Bookshare?
That would be a two-part process. You would need to contact me with all of your pertinent information. You would need to agree to some terms of services saying that you're not going to post the material that you receive on some bulletin board in Singapore. You're not going to sell it for a profit. You're not going to tattoo it on your body and go parading around the streets of Sydney. The books that you get from Bookshare are for your exclusive use. Then aside from that, you will need to provide proof of a qualifying disability from an appropriate healthcare professional in Australia who is able to make such a determination for you. We have forms on our site that will help you in providing that information. Yes, young lady.
The question is, what is O'Reilly and what kind of material do they usually have?
They are technical publications people, so they will provide manuals on helping you how to formulate a web page, how to do server applications. They'll help you figure out the latest operating systems for diverse platforms. So it's really technical, specific reference material. I've got one more minute, time for one more question. So if anybody else has one more question. Otherwise, I'll sing. Badly. Okay. No more questions? Well, thank you all for your time.
My name is Larry Lewis with Pulse Data Humanware. We're here exhibiting at the convention, as you know, and we have a lot of different things going on. Probably the most notable thing that we're doing this convention is unveiling the release of KeySoft 5, which is the productivity suite of software for our BrailleNote and VoiceNote family of products. We're aiming to have the release out available to the factory within the next week for all new units, and we will shortly thereafter have subsequent download availability for people who have purchased the software maintenance agreement that we've been selling. Some of the features in KeySoft 5 that we'll be releasing would be the Bookshare Unpack tool, allowing for direct internet access to downloading a Bookshare book. Thank you. It was actually the easiest thing to do out of everything in this version. So what this basically entails is you would log on with your username and your password, search for the appropriate Bookshare.org book, download the book directly to your BrailleNote or your VoiceNote, and unpack it either to your BrailleNote or VoiceNote or to a storage card to be read in either text or Braille. So we have that working. That opens up a whole lot of opportunities to avoid some of the hassles of downloading to a PC, copying to a note taker, and vice versa. So having that direct access is great with that unpacking tool. We've also done a number of other things with our MP3 file support, where we support the usage of a standard Windows CE media player with our own access shell built around it. What this allows us to do is basically play media files, track the progress of those media files, also use our routing buttons on the Braille display to move to different places in the media file and so forth. So we've made it very customizable, just like if you were in a word processing document where all of your QWERTY commands could move by 1, 5, or 10% forwards and backwards. We can also use, as I said, with the Braille display, touch cursors for routing around. We can get information displayed. We can actually exit the media player and resume exactly where we were in our file and do a lot of different things with music, with audiobooks, different types of things like that. Some of the other things that we've built in, we're releasing our synchronization tool, which synchronizes our address book with Microsoft Outlook.
Hey.
So that is a huge deal for me, having all these contacts in Outlook, being able to sync back and forth now. So but it's probably my particular favorite with this unit. We are working on Planner and email synchronization to come. Will not count against any SMAs or anything like that, and that will be a public download as well. But we wanted to get the address syncing out first. The Planner, some of the things that will be coming with the Planner and the Outlook calendar is paralleling the Planner to handle things such as reoccurring appointments, stop and end dates, and all kinds of good stuff. So that will come, and it will not count against your SMA. We also, last year, when I did the VidPi session, I browsed the internet using my cell phone. We have since moved to also providing infrared connectivity to connecting to a cell phone for phones that have it. So that's a nice little feature that we have. We have probably had this the most requested out of anything, and it's just something we probably should have done quite some time ago, and we finally knocked it out, having a stopwatch utility in KeySoft 5. So nothing too revolutionary there, but something that we needed to do. We have partnered with Duxbury, and when we release KeySoft 5, we'll be working with them on an announcement. We have moved over to the Duxbury translator as our primary translator in the BrailleNote. So that's quite a big deal, too. Lastly, we are in the final beta stages and moving towards a release candidate for GPS version 2. And what GPS version 2 does, takes it a step further from last year and provides really the final piece to the GPS puzzle, where we have map data and we're able to establish where we're at, either look up an address or a point of where we're going or a street address or whatever, and actually have the BrailleNote or the VoiceNote create a route or a pedestrian or a vehicle route and create that route for you. Last year, the version that we released, you had to create your own route first, save your route, and oftentimes use sighted assistance to get this. Now the Braille Notes and GPS software does that all for you, creates the route, creates a list of waypoints, turns in the road, intersections, so forth, and allows you to do that. And we're doing some GPS walks, two a day. Michael May, the father of GPS, will be doing some of those walks. We have one at 3:45 today, 11:45 and 3:45 on the following 3 days. It'd be a great idea if you stop by C44 and 45, our booths, to sign up for those walks, because we like to keep it down to 6 to 8 people just to keep the group together and make it a little bit more sane for Mike. So we also have a few other things going on in our suite, suite 2508. For those of you who have Braille Notes and voice notes that might require a bit of a Braille Note tune-up, minor repair, checkup, you can take it to the Braille Note key shop and actually get it looked at. Morris Sloan has come in all the way from the factory in New Zealand, and he's doing a lot of repairs, battery replacements, keyboard replacements, tightening of screws, cleaning up nasty Gremlin files, different things like that, just to tidy up things. We're conducting Braille Note orientation-type workshops to KeySoft 5. Marlena Lieberg, our Director of Training Services, is driving those. And for those of you unfortunate souls that do not have a Braille Note or a voice note, we are going to be giving away a voice note at the banquet, and we will enter you into a drawing to either win a voice note or apply the purchase of a voice note off the, or apply the trade-in value of a voice note off a Braille note if you want to purchase that. We'll give you $2,000 off. We have all kinds of great demo deals in the booth. We're selling, doing some house cleaning, selling refurbished equipment up to 45% off, new units, the whole nine yards. Have our other products, our Braille Star 80 cell display with its own secondary note-taking functionality and so forth. And just a whole lot of things going on at this conference. Primarily, the emphasis would be on KeySoft 5, our suite, our shop for tuning up things, and just all kinds of odds and ends. So we're in C44 and 45 in the exhibit hall, suite 2508 in the Westin if you want to come up and get things checked out or attend a session. Please sign up for a session or a GPS walk, because we only have room for about 10 or so. We have a Braille Note users group tomorrow night at 6:30. I'm drawing a blank on the location. So, what's that?
I think it's Somerset.
Somerset. Sounds good. Everybody go to Somerset. So, thank you very much. And if there are any questions, don't raise your hand, please.
Okay, a question in the back from Richard. Go ahead and give it. I'll repeat it. What about software updates for those who just had a hardware update?
Okay, the hardware update will bring you current, the KeySoft 401. And as I said, the software maintenance agreement will give you two successive upgrades, the KeySoft 5 and the following version later this year.
So do you have to buy another update to get
the
software?
You need to buy the software maintenance agreement update to get the software, yes. More questions? Yep.
Up in the front.
Okay.
How much is the software maintenance agreement?
Two prices for the software maintenance agreement. For folks who wish to download the software themselves, we will offer a secure site where you enter your serial number, and you then move to a form. You could either use your Braille Note or a PC, probably. I mean, this would be just as easy to use your Braille Note. Fill in the details of your serial number. Go to the download link, and it will download a serialized version of your software. That version is $195, and that will give you two upgrades. We'll provide the software for $235, which includes shipping on a PC, or I'm sorry, a compact flash card. You need to be current with KeySoft 401 to get yourself current for the software maintenance agreement. And, yep.
Still running 3.06 and they want to upgrade to be able to get 5.0.
Yep.
What are the prices for doing the hardware and software upgrades?
We are offering our hardware plus our software upgrade, which would give you a new motherboard and also the KeySoft 5 software. That price has gone up July 1st. We could talk if you're in one of those gray areas where you're on the bubble and so forth. That price is $11.99. We can also give you a software upgrade to KeySoft 401 get you current with the web browser and include KeySoft 5 for $5.99. So you have a low cost software only option or a higher cost motherboard option. And we will be including KeySoft 5 with orders after July 1st at that new price. And that will not count against your SMA for new purchasers.
That's about it.
Going once. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Hi. This is I'm Gordon from Dancing Dots. A lot of people want to know what a dancing dot is, and do they really dance? You know, and well, basically what we are is a for those of you who may not be familiar with us, we are a company that specializes in the development and sale of music software that has been specially adapted or developed for blind people to be able to independently, when I say independently, I really mean alone, create, compose, record, mix. You know, they can either do a complete master of their original work to distribute in whatever form they want, in a CD or on the internet. Also create Braille musical scores, and the latest product which we've come out with this year is a program that works alongside of a lot of our software. Just real quickly, a little sidelight, most of our software really adapts mainstream software that's available to everybody and makes it accessible through the use of JAWS scripts. And they're very comprehensive JAWS scripts. Probably the largest compiled JAWS script you'll ever see is the Cake Talking for Sonar scripts, which we sell. And Sonar is the program that enables a musician to record a full orchestral or pop arrangement, whatever it may be, you know, something that you would actually hear on the radio. It could very well be done in Sonar. The product that we're selling that is new is called Sibelius Speaking. Sibelius is a very, very high-end, probably the best music notation software in the world, and it has been adapted through the use of the Sibelius Speaking scripts so that a blind person can now independently create professional quality in what in the trade is known as engraving quality musical scores. It's possible for a blind person to do a symphony and have it scored and have a regular orchestra play it from the music that's been written. And this is a major breakthrough for blind musicians. It's something that we've all been waiting for a long, long time. And through the use of Sibelius Speaking now, this can be done. It basically takes all the functionality of Sibelius. It's all accessible from the keyboard, and you get a lot of feedback. And in order for this to work, you need a lot of feedback telling you what kinds of notes they are, what articulations, and anybody that knows anything about music, whether a note is accented or staccatoed and where it is in the measure, and all that kind of information is available. And it's really worth looking at, and that we are demonstrating that. Both, there are a couple of ways you can see it if you are interested. One is to come to our booth, which is booth 77. And David or Pinto, who's the developer of the scripts, or myself, would be happy to show you. The other things are, we are holding two workshops, which are sponsored by Friends in Art, affiliate of ACB. One is a MIDI workshop tomorrow, where I'll be primarily demonstrating Sonar and its audio and MIDI capabilities. The other is a workshop on Wednesday devoted strictly to music notation that David will be presiding over, and basically showing all of us what he's done with the Sibelius software to make it really work. Both of those workshops are going to be held in the FIA suite, which is room 1922 at the Westin. And that's basically what we have. We also sell our flagship product, which has been around for quite some time, which is Good Feel, which is a program that lets you create Braille musical scores so that sighted musicians who want to create Braille scores for blind musicians, for example, a student playing in a school orchestra or a band, for example, a band director can actually use this Good Feel package. They don't even have to know Braille music to create a Braille music score with the Good Feel software. And that's our own software completely. That's something that we've developed ourselves. And it comes bundled with a program called SharpEye, which is a program that lets you take a piece of music and scan it with a scanner and ultimately convert that into Braille music. That technology has come a long way as well. You can now, it's getting better and better to the point where it's almost accurate enough that a blind person could do it himself. There's still certain aspects that some sighted assistance is needed to clean it up enough to make sense, but it's come a long way. So that's basically what we have. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to. Excuse me, what is that?
Was that MIDI? Did you say MIDI-COM is the intermediate between...
MIDI?
Is MIDI
no.
code
the MIDI is the intermediary between SharpEye and GoodFeel, yes. SharpEye creates a MIDI file, or there are a couple other formats now that are actually better. SharpEye can export into a form of a new standard called Music XML, which like XML, as many of you might be familiar with, is a specialized form of XML that handles music notation symbols. And then the GoodFeel software can import XML and get a lot more accurate representation. See, MIDI will just give you the notes. It won't give you some of the finer points that are in the score, like the phrasing and the articulation, whether a note is short or long, whether it's slurred to another note, that kind of stuff. And the Music XML will give you that information.
We'll take two more questions.
What's the date time again? The Sibelius workshop is Wednesday, and that's at 1:30. I believe it's 1:30 to 3:30. So
I'll get in one last question here. And sorry if you've covered this already. But I'm thinking that I'd heard that Dancing Dots is doing more in terms of like music tutorial stuff.
Well, we do sell a template. Oh, I should mention this. And this is still in the development phase, and this is why this isn't quite released yet. But one of the big things that we are working on and have a prototype, but it's not here, is I don't know if any of you are familiar with SAL, the speech-assisted learning. And we have a template for music Braille that works with SAL, and it's really quite amazing. It really lets a student who's learning Braille music learn at their own pace, and they can press on a specific musical cell, and a specific Braille cell. It'll play the note. It'll tell the student what it is. It gives it. There are exercises that it'll run through and quizzes. It works in conjunction with a Braille music tutorial developed by Richard Tesh from the Southern Conservatory of Music in California, and so that's probably what you're referring to, I think.
Yeah, I think so. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Time for Main Menu to log off for another week. Don't forget, of course, if you have any comments about Main Menu, you can send them to mainmenu@acbradio.org.